Jeremiah 36. We have a new screen. Did you notice? A little TV. Don and Larry said they were tired of all my off-the-wall sermons. It was spirit-led. All right, Jeremiah 36. We're going to have a great chapter. This chapter is very good. And this chapter deals simply with the Word of God. And we just sang a song about, Lord, you know, come and fill your lambs. And we always want to kind of be filled with the knowledge of God and filled with the presence of the Lord and filled with His direction. All that comes from the Bible. Everything that we talk about today, everything that we do, there's a reason why we're here. And the reason why we're here is laid out perfectly in the first three verses of this chapter. So let's go ahead and read them. It says, now it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. Now remember, this book is not in chronological order. Zedekiah is the last king, so now we're in the reign of Jehoiakim. So this happened before the last chapter. So the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take a scroll, a book, write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, against the nations from the day I spoke, from the days of Josiah even till this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities which I propose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. So he is told by God to take all the things that God has told him about the coming captivity, Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, the sin of Judah, write it all down on a scroll. And then perhaps when the people hear this word, they'll turn from their wicked ways, and I can forgive them of their iniquity and their sin. So what does God want to do for us? He's offering forgiveness. In fact, God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You need to know this fact. Every human being is a sinner. Nobody's perfect. Because of that, the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. So the word death is simply a word that means separation. When a person or an animal or any living thing physically dies, if you see a roadkill on the side of the road, the body is there. But whatever life was in that body, whatever was in that raccoon or whatever animal it is, that has now separated from the physical form of that raccoon. When we physically die, our soul and spirit is separate from our body. The Bible calls that physical death. It calls it the first death. But there is a second death the Bible talks about, in which our soul and spirit is not only separated from our body, but it's separated from God for eternity. And so when the Bible says the wages of sin is death, it means that the result or the consequences of our sin is that God is holy, so sin must be separate from him. So therefore, we have to take care of our sin. So the Bible says that we all have sinned. Anybody here perfect? Nobody. Liz already left, so there's nobody left perfect in this room. All right? And so being we're all sinners, then we are all, by nature, by Romans 5 tells us that we've all inherited sin from Adam. So because of that, we're all separate from God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So when Jesus died on the cross, he was actually paying the penalty that was due because of our sin. And then when he died, the Bible says he was buried, and then he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The Bible calls that death, burial, and the resurrection one very beautiful word. The word is gospel, which literally means good news. The bad news is we're all sinners. The good news is Jesus took care of what was due. And now the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he's risen from the dead, you will be saved, forgiven, never to be plucked out of the hand of Jesus. And you will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. You may die once, but you'll never die the second death. So when the Bible says, if you believe in me, you'll never die, it doesn't mean I'm not going to die physically. That's probably coming. But I will never die spiritually, meaning I will never be separate from God. So what does God tell Jeremiah to do? Write these words down, read them to the people, and perhaps the people will believe me and trust me and ask me to forgive them, because that's all I want to do is forgive them. So I have a very simple question for you this morning before we move on. Have you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins? Have you asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? We talked about this last week. If you have not, you can do it anytime. It's a very simple prayer. Lord, I am a sinner. I believe you died for me and rose again. Would you please forgive me of my sins? And if you're sincere, if you confess with your mouth that he's Lord and believe in your heart he's risen from the dead, you will be saved. That's why we're here. We're very simply here so that I can share with you what God has to say, and you can respond to that in a positive way so that God can forgive you of your sins and guide you through your life. Proverbs 18:21 says very specifically, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life in the power of the tongue. We have the power through speaking the word of God to give and show a person how they can have eternal life. Or we can say nothing and never share about Jesus, never tell them about God, never tell them about salvation, and we have done nothing but guide them into death because we've not shared it. The question is, where did we get this book from? And this is the beautiful part. We are here because we have a word that can save people's souls. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1:19, we have this prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as light that shines in dark place until the dawns of the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So this is how we got our Bible. And this is important for you to know. For those of you who may say, well, I don't really know. How do I know the Bible's true? How do I know I can trust it? This is how you know the Bible is true. The Bible is of no private interpretation. What does that mean? It means that when Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or Paul, or Peter are writing, they are not writing their opinions about God. It's not them at all. In fact, it says that they are speaking as they are moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, I can tell you and influence you to write something. I can tell everybody here to write down a food. And if you wrote down a food, you would say, boy, I kind of inspired you to write down that food, didn't I? But I don't know what food you wrote down. Then I could tell you to write down a breakfast food. And you might change what food you put. Then I might tell you to write down the only breakfast food that matters. And you would all write down what? French toast. All right? So somehow, some way, I've had at least a little bit of influence on your lives. And that is even more, but that's not how the Bible was written. The Bible was written in which God took the hands of these men and moved them, to write down. And they didn't even have a power at all. It was all God. In fact, look at 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that word inspiration means God breathed. God inspired. If anybody here is an artist or a writer, I mean, you look at a blank canvas or you look at a blank page, and before you're done, there's something on that canvas that was inspired by something. The mood you're in, or a waterfall you saw. Well, all scripture is God-breathed. So when we're talking about the Bible, there's a new kind of thinking out there, and you have to be very careful of it. And there's a lot of modern churches that don't want the Bible to say what the Bible says. Can I say that again? There's some modern churches that just don't want the Bible to say what the Bible says. So they change it. But there's something new that's coming in, and it is, well, we don't listen to Paul, we listen to Jesus. And they're separating the two, as if the writings of Paul are inaccurate, but the red letters of Jesus are accurate. Every single letter in this Bible should have a red letter if you're going to have a red letter Bible. Because Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we come to you not just speaking a denominational opinion about what I think God would say or do. This is no law but love, no creed but Christ, and no book but the Bible. We go verse by verse. I don't know. I hope we have a pretty good attendance today, which is good because we've been in Jeremiah for a long time. So you're not tired of it yet. It's a hard book. I will commend you for your patience as we walk through it. I plan to go a little faster, but it's too good. Every time I get to a chapter, it's just like I got to stop here and talk about this. And this chapter is particularly good. So what we're trying to do here is very simple. Give you the words from God that are able to save your soul and have your sins completely washed and wiped away. To do that, we have to acknowledge the fact that you're all sinners. And that's the message the world doesn't want to hear. Because there's no such thing as sin anymore. Do whatever you want. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. It's not how it works. Let's look at verse 4. So Jeremiah called Baruch, son of Neriah. And Baruch wrote on a scroll of a book at the instruction of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken to him. So God is talking to Jeremiah, who's now talking to Baruch, who's going to write it down. So whose words are they? They're God's from the very beginning. Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am confined. I cannot go to the house of the Lord. You go, therefore, and read from the scroll which you have at my instruction, the words of the Lord in the hearing of the people in the Lord's house. What is Baruch told to do? Write it down, read it in the Lord's house in front of the people. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. You're not here to get some kind of a fancy self-help opinionated verse from me and how five ways to make your life better. This is not a TED talk. All right? This is a God talk. This is a Bible study. It's all we're doing here is studying God's word. What does God have to say? What I have to say doesn't matter. So we go to the house of the Lord, read from the scroll which you have written at my instruction, the words in my hearing of the people in the Lord's house on the day of fasting. You shall also read them in the hearing of Judah who come from their cities. Look at verse 7. These first three words of verse 7 are very important. What are they? It may be. And this is what this is the frustration or the hard part of preaching. Because it may be that you think everything I'm talking about is foolishness and ridiculous. But it may be
that just like me, these words will change your life, both here on earth and for eternity. This book, this God, this Jesus, I cannot explain to you how lost I was, how absolutely miry clay ridden I was, until I finally found the meaning and the purpose of life. And it's Jesus. It's just Christ. It may be, verse 7, that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and everyone will turn from their evil way. Imagine for 5 seconds. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to imagine this. Imagine the whole world turns from their evil way. What if every human being lived according to the morals of Scripture? How would this world be? Yeah, it would be heaven, wouldn't it? That's where we're going. For great is the anger and fear of the Lord and pronounced against the people. And Baruch, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading from the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And if I ever do anything other than that, fire me. Don't let me behind this pulpit again. But it's going to be more and more as I get a little older, and it's going to be scripture after scripture. This is why we have this. This fancy little thing here, it's not to be modern. It is because these scriptures are all that matters. And so I'm trying to have as many scriptures as I can. And instead of having you turn to this and turn to that and turn to this, we'll just look at them. There's something about reading them. Look at this next verse. It's Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. This word is powerful, quick, sharper than a two-edged sword. So because of that, these are the verses that change your life. I understand the jokes are hilarious, but they're secondary to the verses. Look at this verse, Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's all church means. It's ecclesia. It just means to gather together. And God says, don't forsake gathering together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Do you think the return of the Lord is approaching? I don't know if it's approaching tomorrow, but I know it's closer today than it was yesterday. And I know that God tells us as we see the day approaching, we should gather more. We assemble more. Mark 16:14, Jesus appears to the 11 after he had died and was buried and rose again. And they sat at a table. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So this is after the resurrection. And he says in Mark 16:15, he said, go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. The word baptized there is the spiritual baptism, having your sin washed away by the blood of Christ. But the important word here is go. Well, how'd they do? He tells them to go to all the world, and somehow they got from Jerusalem to La Grande. So they did a pretty good job. This is our little corner of the world. This is where we are. We're part of this process of going and sharing the gospel. And as we do this, the word begins to spread. Let's look at verse 9. It came to pass in the 5th year of Jehoiakim. Remember, we started this chapter in the 4th year of Jehoiakim. So now about a year has passed. And I don't know how long it took Josiah to write all these words down. And it came to pass in the 5th year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the 9th month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord. And all the people of Jerusalem came, and all the people who came to the cities of Judah and Jerusalem. Then Baruch read from the book of the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. That's all we're doing. In the chamber of Gemariah. in son of Shaphan, the scribe, the upper court, enter the new gate in the Lord's house in the hearing of all the people. Now, what you're going to see in verse 11 through 15 is people start to hear the word and they start to tell other people about it. That's how the word of God spreads. We go to all the world and preach the gospel. Then you go home and you say, boy, what an amazing sermon today, right? We all go home and say that. Or you go home and you say, I don't understand why he said that. I don't understand why he just wastes our time with his stupid jokes. I don't understand why he doesn't wear a tie. All those things, whatever you complain about. Okay, and he says, the son of Micaiah, he went to the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, heard all the words of the Lord from the book. He then, verse 12, went to the king's house and the scribe's chamber, and all the princes were there, sitting there, Elishama the scribe, Deliah the son of Shemaiah, Elnathan the son of Achbor, Gemariah the son of Shaphan, Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared to them all the words that he heard when Baruch read the book in the hearing of the people. So what's happening to the word? It's spreading. It's going. Let's look at verse 14. Therefore the princes sent to Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shemaliah, the son of Cushai, to Baruch, saying, take in your hand the scroll from which you've read in the hearing of the people and come. We want to hear more about it. Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the scroll in his hand, came to them, and said to them, sit down, and he read it in our hearing. So Baruch read it in their hearing. Now it happened, when they had heard the words, they looked in fear from one another. Why would they be in fear? Because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is what? We're all sinners. Sinners will be separated from God forever. If that bothers you, you will respond. If it doesn't bother you, I'll pray for you. So they said to him, sit down and read it. And he read it. Verse 16. And it happened when they had heard the words, they had fear. And they said, we will surely tell the king all these words. So what are they going to do? They're going to start spreading the word. Even though some don't believe it, but they're still spreading the word. But look at verse 17. It's very key. It says, tell us now, how did you write these words at his instruction? So what do they want to know in verse 17? Where did you get this information from? How did you get these words? And he says, he proclaimed it with his mouth, all these words to me. I wrote them with ink in the book. He says, God told Jeremiah. Jeremiah told me what God said. I wrote him down. So whose words are they? Paul wrote these down because God told him what to write down. They are not the words of Paul. They're the words of Jesus or the words of God. It is the word of God. I'm the least part of this whole situation. I'm just reading what God told Jeremiah. So this becomes the word of God, not the word of man. And it begins to spread. Acts 1:8. Right before Jesus ascended to heaven, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and where finally? The end of the earth. That's probably LeGrand. So it got there. Then it says, all things you have heard, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace, and the things that you have heard from me from many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Let me commend something with this church. This church is pretty amazing. This church has been here approximately 55 years, and they've had two pastors. Two pastors. These two pastors, they have a couple things in common. One, they stayed a long time. Two, they had a love for the word and preached it verse by verse. Amen. And no law but love, no creed but Christ, no book but the Bible. However, you're going to need a third pastor someday in the next 20 years or so. And that person needs to be trained and taught Because we train faithful men. This is what our WANA program is all about, is what Sunday school and teaching and children's church and everything that we do here, because we're also trying to train the leaders of the next generation. And the word begins to spread. But here's the problem. As the word begins to spread, it falls on the ears of those who hate it. And they will do anything to stop it. This is the meat of this lesson. It's only a few more minutes, but watch what happens. So the verse 20, they went to the king. But they stored the scroll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told the words in the hearing of the king. The king sent to Jehudi to bring the scroll. He took it from Elishama's scribes. Jehudi read it in the hearing of the king and the princes. And the king was sitting in the winter's house in the ninth month. The fire was burning. And it happened when Jehudi heard and read the three or four columns that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire. He heard the word of God for about two or three columns. And he said what? Enough. You get that word out of here. I don't want it in my school. I don't want it in my government. I don't want it in any public places. I don't want it on the street. I don't want it on the internet. And if I had my way, I'd shut down every church across this country. Do you think that's the attitude of many? It's absolutely. This word offends. It's a stumbling block. To us, it's the rock of salvation. To others, it's a stumbling block to them living their lives in any way they want to live it. And they will cut it, and they will burn it, and throw it in the fire if they get a chance. This is the sad part. Look at verse 24. It says, yet they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments, the king or any of his servants who heard these things. Nevertheless, Elnathan, Deliah, and Gemariah, remember they heard it before, implored the king not to burn the scroll, but he would not listen to them. And this is very important. You have no control over who's going to listen to this word or not listen to this word. When they threw the seed out, how many grounds did it fall on? Four. How many was a good ground? One. It's the same today. We're in church. You came here to hear God's word. This is the easy place. When you get out into the world, they don't like it. They just don't like it. And we're going to implore them. Listen, listen, listen. The king commanded Jeremiah, the king's son, Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdiel, to seize Baruch, the scribe, and Jeremiah, the prophet, but the Lord hid them. So not only are they going to hate the word, they're going to hate those who write it and read it and share it. I didn't write this book. John 14:6. Who knows that verse? If you know John 14:6, would you just say it with me? John 14:6. Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Probably one of the most hated verses in all the world. Because it has the audacity to say that Jesus is the only way. How dare he say that? He says it because it's true. He is the only way of having forgiveness for your sins. But the world will not like it. So what do we do? Well, 2 Timothy says this. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers. So what does it mean in season and out of season? When people listen like we are this morning, or when nobody wants to hear it anymore? When you come to me and say, you know what, can we do something other than Jeremiah? We're getting a little bored with all of these verses you keep putting in. Can't you just give us a nice short devotion and let us go home? Yes, I could do that. I won't do that, but I certainly could do that. Just make it easier on me, less study time. Verse 4 says, they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. There may come a time when my mind isn't working like it should, and I'm not able to bring you an accurate verse-by-verse study, and you need to fire me. You need to have somebody here who can accurately. This is the most important thing we do around here. It's what God instructed Jeremiah and Baruch to do, because the Word of God changes lives. And what do? When the world cuts it and burns it. Well, look what they did, verse 27. After the king burned the scroll, the words that Baruch had written and the instruction in Jeremiah, and the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, take another scroll, write on it the former words that were on the first scroll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah had burned, and you shall say to Jehoiakim king of Judah, thus saith the Lord. So, what'd they do? They just wrote it over again. We just got to persevere. Except now God wrote what he wrote before, but he also added to it. And by the way, you're in big trouble for burning this thing. You should not have done that. Verse 32 says, Jeremiah took another scroll, gave it to Baruch. You know how long Satan has tried to destroy this word? You know how long the world has wanted this book eliminated from culture? Here's what the Bible says. This is a great verse. I could have read these two verses and sent you home. Isaiah 55:10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. What a verse. So we're just the seed sowers. And it's not, the good thing about the Bible, it doesn't matter if I have this nasally voice and I stutter and can't pronounce names. It doesn't even matter. The Word of God is powerful and sharpened into a two-edged sword. So when we throw the seed out, it's going to do what God deems and what I please. It's going to grab you. And it's going to go into the marrows of your bones and your life, and it's going to change you. Or it's not going to affect you at all, and you're never coming back. But it's up to God. Our job is to sow. I love this verse. We read it already. 1 Peter 1:24. All flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is as a flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away. But the word of God endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Do you know why they haven't been able to get rid of this book? Because God says it's going to endure forever. It's not going anywhere. And it's not going to return void. And it's going to do whatever God says it's going to do. So our responsibility, this Bible Christian church, this church of God around the world, is to get this word into as many minds and hearts as possible by simply preaching it, reading it, sharing it, giving it. I tell you, those days of Baruch, as he was a scribe writing those down, I thank the Lord for Gutenberg when he made that printing press. And the main thing he did for the printing press was what? Boy, get those scriptures out. It changed everything. And so here we are with the same word that Gutenberg printed, the same words that Baruch wrote down, the same word that Moses had on those tablets, and it's lasted thousands and thousands of years. And if the Lord tarries another 1,000 years, there will be Bible teaching churches 1,000 years from now. How do we know? Because we're told by God. I just want to be part of that. So for you, it's very simple. Psalm 119:9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. So how are you cleansed from your sins? By taking heed according to the word of God, which says, if you will confess with your mouth that I am Lord and believe in your heart I have risen from the dead, you'll be saved. With a whole heart I sought you. O Lord, let not my heart wander from your commandments. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. So we are a Bible teaching, Bible preaching church. Verse by verse, precept on precept, because it's powerful. It changes lives. If we go all the way back to Jeremiah 1:3 or Jeremiah 36:3, where he says, oh, perhaps they'll turn from their evil way that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. That's what we're doing here. And if you don't agree with us, then just agree with us. I was going to get really dramatic, but it's it's just easy. Can you come and you feed my lambs as we pray? All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. I just love it. You are the word, Father, and we just trust it. It's been life-changing for me, and I know for the majority of people in this room. But maybe there are still some here who have doubts, still some here who are wrestling with whether the Bible is true. They go through it to look for loopholes and mistakes, and if they just surrender. Lord, we had men that feared when they heard of this book. We had men that it didn't even affect them at all, and they had nothing to do with it. But Lord, we will press on. If they take our Bibles, we'll take the verses we memorized and continue to share them. But Lord, let us trust this book as the perfect, inerrant word of God in Jesus' name. Let's stand. We'll sing Feed My Lambs. This is a good thing to start, because if you want to be fed, the way you are fed is through the study of His Word. Don't forget, we have a WANA meeting at 5:30, Bible study at 6:30, baptism a week from today, and don't forget there are donuts and cupcakes and things from Little Debbie's in the back. Take as many as you want. God bless you. Have a great day.